Morning. You can do better than that. Morning. Oh, I heard that. That's excellent. Good to be with you, beloved. And what a joy it was for us this morning as we remember our blessed Redeemer. We worship thee, all glorious Lord. None like him. None to be compared with him. Greater than all, better than all, and highly exalted far above all, we worship thee, all glorious Lord. No spot in him, all glorious. We're going to read a prayer of David this morning from Psalm 143. We're going to read the whole prayer of David here, but we're going to just pick out like three petitions that he made among so many here. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those who have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee like a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. It's a prayer of David, and we would just like to pick out from this prayer three particular petitions that he made. The first one is in verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. The next one is, same verse, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And the next one is in verse 10, teach me to do thy will. I think that's easy for us to remember. What a petition, though. Cause me to hear. So often God speaks and we're not listening. Too often God must repeat himself because we're not paying attention. And when God speaks, we need to listen. cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. It's so important for us to hear God's voice at the beginning of the day. When the Lord Jesus addressed the seven churches in Asia Minor, he had a different message for each church. The message to Sardis was not the same as the message to Ephesus or to Laodicea. But he ended each message with the same words. And those words are, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We need to pay attention. We need to listen. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? When Cornelius, there in Acts chapter 10, had that vision from the Lord instructed him to send to Joppa, because there was a man who can teach him, a man who can express and explain to him the way of salvation. He says, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, for he is, we all like to do this, having some R&R down there by the seaside. He's going to tell you. He's going to instruct you. We know that Peter was reluctant, and God had to bring him around because God had shown him a vision, and God knew exactly how he felt. And Peter submitted. Peter surrendered to the Lord, and he went down to meet these messengers from Cornelius. This is in Acts chapter 10. I'm sure you're familiar with the account, but if not, you can read it there in Acts in chapter 10. And he went down and he told the men who came, he says, you are looking for me. I am the man for whom you are seeking. He says, what is the cause for which you have come? Why are you here? And they told him the vision of Cornelius, and how he had sent for him, how he had a vision from the Lord, and the Lord had sent for him. He says, the Lord has sent us. Our master sent us because the Lord had spoken to our master. And he has sent us to get you, that we might hear words of thee. We want to hear words. And not words of man, but the words that the Lord has put in your heart to instruct us, to guide us, cause us, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. The first sinners in the world, they were terrified at the voice of the Lord, because they had sinned against the Lord. And they tried to hide themselves. And when God called them and said, where art thou? Adam, where are you? We heard thy voice in the garden. We were afraid because we were naked. God already knew where they were and what they had done, but this couple that communed with God often now was afraid to hear his voice because they had disobeyed and they had rebelled against the word of the Lord. And David is saying, Lord, I want to hear. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voice. Too often we want to hear the voice of men. We want to hear somebody that we enjoy the way they speak. Somebody who can really stir us up. But do we really want to hear from heaven? Each one needs to hear God's voice. And if you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to hear his voice, because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. I said the Lord spoke to the seven churches in Asia Minor, but the last church was different. Even though he ended the message the same way, but the last church, they had a problem. They had a problem with carnality. They had a problem because there was apostasy in the church. And they weren't listening, they weren't hearing his voice. And so, because the Lord Jesus at this point in time was outside, and he said to them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you hear my voice. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 47, says, he that is of God heareth God's words. We are listening, we're responding, and we know his voice. And the Lord Jesus said, my sheep, chapter 10 of John, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. God speaks. Sometimes we don't recognize his voice. Sometimes we think it's the voice of a stranger. Remember young Samuel? When Samuel went to the temple, it says the word of the Lord was scarce in those days. There were no frequent visions. You see, the people of God had gone astray. The priests had made themselves vile. The sons of Eli, and the lamp of the temple was burning very low, and God called a child who did not yet know the Lord. The Lord called him, and the first time he did not recognize the voice of the Lord, and so he went to Eli and said, here am I because you called me, and Eli said, no, I didn't call you. It happened three times, and in the fourth time, Eli would say to the child, because by this time, Eli recognized that the Lord was calling the child Samuel. So the next time he calls, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And that's how it should be our attitude. Speak, Lord, for I'm listening. I'm listening. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord called, and Samuel responded, and the Lord told him exactly what he had in mind for the nation, and for the family of Eli, and what he was going to do. God called a child. You know, Eli was very uncomfortable because he recognized that God was saying something to this child, something that would affect him and his family, and he was exactly right. But what I'm impressed with this young Samuel, after Eli pressed him and said, "You better tell me, otherwise let all this thing come upon you. You better tell me." It says, young Samuel told him everything. He told him everything. Maybe there are things you don't want to hear. And maybe you don't listen because you don't want to hear what the Lord is saying, because you have your mind set to go your own way. But God is going to have his way, and he's going to speak, and you and I better be ready to respond. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. In Psalm 85 and verse 8, it says, I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Listen and respond. Cause me to hear. The Lord Jesus, he laid a lot of emphasis on hearing and listening. He thought it was so important that he would say to those gathered around him that they need to listen to his voice, because their eternal destiny depending on their response to his voice. As he said in John chapter 5, verse 24, one of my favorite verses in the Gospels, he that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words. But hearing is just not enough. He that heareth my voice or my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. He that heareth my voice, heareth my words. The Lord speaks in different ways, and he speaks to his children. It all depends on what situation you're in, but he always speaks. And you and I need to respond. Look at how he spoke to Elijah, that servant of the Lord, who was having a hard time because he's running from Jezebel. He's hiding himself because he thought that he was the only one that's left that's faithful to the Lord, and the Lord would reveal himself to him. And sometimes we can get confused about voices. Sometimes the speaker is so persuasive, he's so emotional, he can move us with emotions, and it's not really the voice of the Lord. And so the Lord told Elijah, you go to a certain place and you would hear my voice, and then God appeared to him, and God did certain things, and God sent an earthquake, and it shook the place, it says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. You got to be careful with all this fanfare and stuff out there. The Lord was not in the earthquake. He sent a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And then there was this wind blowing all over, and a lot of hot air out there, beloved. You better be wise enough to discern the difference between the voice of the Lord and a lot of hot air that's going on out there. The Lord was not in the wind. And then he sent a still small voice. The Lord spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. And the Lord would tell him to go to a certain place. The Lord tell Elijah, you know, you're not the only one that's left. Go to a certain place. And you would know, because I have a whole lot of other people that did not bow the knee to Bill, did not kiss Bill, a whole lot of other people. But you see, he had to hear that voice. You and I need to listen, beloved, to that still small voice. The voice that says to us, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Petition number one, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. The next one is, cause me to know the way in the which I should walk. You know, it's not enough to listen. But we need to be ready. Once we have heard his voice, once we know his will, then we need to walk in his path. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. He was not asking to know the easy road, not the most pleasant road, but the right road. Cause me to know the way wherein I must walk. We are told in God's word how the believer ought to walk several times. Walking is important. Walking is an important instruction to God's people. We are told to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. We are told to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We are told to walk in the path of uprightness. To walk circumspectly. In Psalm 1 it says, blessed is the man that walketh not. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. When God called Abraham to reveal to him what he was going to do in Genesis chapter 17, God said to him, you walk before me and be thou perfect. Now he's not talking about sinless perfection, because Abraham was not sinlessly perfect, and neither is anyone else except the man that the brother is going to talk about, the only good man, the only perfect man that ever walked this scene. I think that'd be very interesting to listen to. The Lord says in that same psalm, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He approves that way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. We have knowledge of so many things, but apparently too many of us, we really don't have the knowledge of God's will, the way in which we should conduct ourselves. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, teach me. Because in the book of Proverbs, twice it's repeated, It says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Seems right. It doesn't say it's right, it just seems right. But the end of that way is death. It seems that we need to understand what is God's will, the path that he has mapped out for us in his word. Job, in his adversity, he had a knowledge of who the Lord is. And even though he went through so much, caused me to know the way. Job knew exactly who the Lord was and is. And he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Whatever happens, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know, we pride ourselves in our knowledge. You know, there was a church in the New Testament that prided themselves in how much they knew and the gifts that they had. And the apostle would remind them over and over again that that kind of a knowledge puffs up. That's not what God wants us to revel in. The knowledge of what's around us and our standing, our gifts. And he reminded them, you know, he said, you ought to know better. I mean, let's use it. Using our everyday language. You ought to know better. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, this is what he says, do you not know? Cause me to know the way in which I must go. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Do you not know that? You need to know that. I know you have a lot of knowledge that puffs up. Verse 3 says, do you not know? I know it says, know you not. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Do you not know that? Wow. They thought they knew so much. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Are people that pride themselves in knowing so much? Verse 15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Verse 16, do you not know that he who is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And verse 19, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Do you not know that? And he said to them, coming to the end of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, he says, awake to the same church, awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Cause me to know the way into which I must go. I must walk. Cause me to know that. You know, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, it says, if our gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the knowledge of the glory of God should shine unto them. Then in verse 6, it's in verse 6 of that same chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, it says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Cause me to know, to know. Paul desired to know. In Philippians in chapter 3, he says, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Cause me to know the way. He's writing to young Timothy, who had a godly grandmother and also a godly mother. And he said to him that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How you get that knowledge? Well, the other verses, the following verses will tell us through the word that it were all scriptures given by inspiration, he went on to tell him. Cause me to know. And he prayed for the Colossian saints in chapter 1. Among all the petitions, one stands out. It says, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. And then the third petition we want to look at. Cause me to hear. Cause me to know. Teach me to do thy will. Doesn't matter how much you hear. Hearing is important. But if you're going to hear it and not respond, it won't do you much good. So hearing is important because you're responsible for what you hear. And walking in the light of God's word, walking in the light of what you have heard, knowing the will of God, that's important. But here it says, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do. It's about doing. At the end of the day, it's about doing. There are many who are following the Lord for different reasons, but they were not doing his will. And he said to them in Luke chapter 6, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing the things that I say? We talk a lot, but we don't do. And this is about doing. And that was James spoke about. When people think he's contradicting the Apostle Paul, he is not contradicting him at all. He is saying, you say you believe, show me. Do it. It's not about talking. Oh, we can talk a lot and we know a lot. Some of us, we have a lot of knowledge, but we don't put it into practice. And so James is saying, you got to show me your faith by your works. You got to do it. Teach me to do thy will. Our Lord Jesus is the perfect example. He didn't just come here to display his power. He came here with a mission. And say, he said, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. He's our perfect example of doing the Father's will. When he spoke with the woman at Sychar's well, and his disciples came in John chapter 4 and wondering why he was talking to that woman. And they were wondering if he had anything to eat. Did someone bring him something to eat? And Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know not what, you know not of. You don't know of the food. He said to them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It's about doing. He wanted them to understand that you can give lip service, you can say you believe, but you gotta do what's written. You gotta do what is required. So James says, he warns us and he tells us clearly to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's important to hear, but you got to put it into practice. Cause me to do thy will. The Lord Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine. If you would do his will. You know of his teaching. You know of his doctrine. When he spoke to his disciples about bearing fruit, he spoke to them about being fruitful. He said to them, yes, I've called you. Yes, you belong to me. But you need to go a little further. He said to them in John 15, he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You are my friends if you do. Like Abraham, he did what the Lord commanded him. And Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God because he did what God said to him. When God said to him, leave Ur of the Chaldees, he picked up and he left. When God says, send away Ishmael, he sent him away with his mother. When God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering, he obeyed. He says, by faith Abraham, he obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. The Lord Jesus said, I'm saying great things to you. I'm saying important things to you. But you need to take it a step further. He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It's about doing. Cause me to do thy will. What important instructions Mary gave to those servants at the feast in the wedding at Cana of Galilee. And she said to them concerning her son. She said to them, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. You know, a lot of nice hymns written, but I'm going to read you two verses of one of the great hymns that were written to close this off. You know the hymn is not a mystery. Some of you probably ahead of me and thinking it in your mind already, but here it is. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his goodwill, he abides with us still. and with all who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we shall sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear. Only trust and obey. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And cause me to do thy will. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who did always those things that pleased the Father. We thank thee for the words of Samuel to Saul. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. We thank thee for faithful men who obeyed, who did thy will, and thou didst count it to them for righteousness. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect example, who submitted himself at the horrors of Calvary loom before him, and he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Thank you for thy precious word. Whatsoever written aforetime or written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Bless thy word to our hearts, encourage the hearts of God's people, and sanctify us through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Watch over us now as we part for a while, and bring us back together to study thy word further. We pray and give thanks to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.